Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you would, please. Musicians, before you guys go, I wanted to mention something. First of all, it took a lot of people to accomplish what took place this week in the 2019 Southwest Believers Convention. And first of all, I wanted to thank the staff members, all of the staff members of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Eagle Mountain International Church, Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Give them a great hand. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Many of them were up late last night, tearing down and everything and all of that. But if I do have any of all of those staff members, I want you to stand up. Any of the staff members that I just called out, EMIC, KCM, KCBC, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Amen. Y'all go take naps this afternoon. And don't you fall asleep in my sermon. And then all of the volunteers. So many volunteers. I want you to give our volunteers a great hand. Thank you, guys. If you're a volunteer, stand up. If you're a volunteer, look at all the volunteers. Whoa! Thank you. Thank you. And that includes all the volunteers that are over in the overflow room. Thank you. And our staff over there. Another group that just did such a marvelous job this week. I want to say this first about David Ellis. You are such a joy to our hearts, to this ministry. David, you are so necessary to what we do. And we're so grateful to you. I'm grateful for our magnificent musicians. And then all of our singers. We don't have all of them today, but these guys were involved in it. Give them a hand. Marvelous. And even today, David, thank you. Thank you for helping to lead us and guide us in this presence that we experienced earlier today. I pray over you and I pray over your life for your protection, for your family, for your health, for your longevity. The prophet needs you. We need you. So we pray over that, over David, in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for manifesting your presence in him in every way, in every shape, every form, every manner. And thank you for this anointed psalmist that you brought into our midst that helps lead us into the presence of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I thank you for the place that you have for him in heaven, what he's going to be doing there. That anointing that's on him to pastor and to shepherd, to lead.
Thank you.
Father, I thank you for him. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
David, thank you. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Last but not least, yes. Pastor Terry's mic, please.
This just in.
Yes.
10 more filled with the Holy Spirit and Super Kid Academy.
Praise God. Yes! Whoa! Hallelujah! Woo! You're at the revival capital of the world, if you didn't know it. Please keep your arms in the as we travel. Anyway. So as I was about to say, last but not least, this meeting was bathed in prayer. It was bathed in prayer. What a phenomenal prayer team we have, and what a phenomenal prayer leader we have. Pastor Terry, would you please stand? Thank you. Thank you. Prayer leaders, prayer. Going to be seated. All of those involved in our prayer teams, would you please stand up? All of our prayer teams. Wow, thank you. Thank you, 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 thank you. What a time. What an amazing time that we had together. And now we're headed for 2020, the 40th Believers Convention. We've already started planning it. We've been working on it all week long because you get into that atmosphere and boy, the juices start flowing and the anointing is there. And what a time we are having together. Amen. Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to open your Bibles, first of all, to 1 John 5. 1 John 5, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit today, not a whole long time, but I'll talk to you about this because at the end of this message, I'm having Candy LaFleur come back up. And she was supposed to go back home because they pastor a church, and I asked her to stay because there's a song that I want her to sing to us, and the Lord told me that song would be the cap to this time that we've had together. It really would be the cap to the whole week that we've had. And you're going to carry, I'm telling you, when she starts singing the song, and you hear a particular lyric in it, it'll catch hold on the inside. It's going to stick with you. It's going to stick with you. That's why it's so important that the Word of God does stick with you on the inside. It has staying power. And so let me preach this message that I'm going to have her come out here and we'll do this song and then wrap up our time together. But we are talking about bulldog faith. Anybody is a bulldog in here? Bulldog faith. It says in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Say, I'm a world overcomer. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And for some weeks now, I've been talking to you about this bulldog faith. Bulldog faith. This bulldog faith, in the Greek, the word faith there, it's an aggressive force that never backs down. Never backs down. The things that we've heard this week, they're so important to us. We've reached a new level together, a spiritual level, and we're not backing down. We've taken ground, and we're not going back. And that's what faith does. Faith takes ground, and it doesn't let go. So it's an aggressive force that never backs down. It's like a bulldog that bites down on a bone. And it will just bite down, and somebody tries to take that bone, and you can't take it from him. It's got such a strong grip, you cannot take it from him. And so what we do is we bite down on the Word of God. And the devil tries to come and steal the Word. He's not going to steal it. He will not. You have to make a decision right now. With all this Word that we received this week, we know from Mark 4 what the plan is. And that is for the devil to come immediately and steal the Word. He's not going to do it. Say, I refuse for the devil to steal the Word. I am not moved by anything except the Word of God. So we bite down on it and we do not let go. And a couple of review points here. Bulldog faith is aggressive. It attacks the problem with God's Word. Whatever the problem is, we don't run from it. We run into it, just like David did with Goliath. He ran towards him because he knew that he had a covenant with God. And we know we have a covenant with God. So bulldog faith is aggressive. Say, bulldog faith,
bulldog faith
is aggressive.
Is aggressive.
I am aggressive. Bulldog faith is persistent. It sustains the attack until all resistance is broken. Persistence wears down resistance. The resistance of the devil is worn down by our persistence to believe God and to stand on that Word. So say, bulldog faith,
bulldog faith
is persistent.
Is persistent.
I am persistent.
I am persistent.
Last week we talked about the fact that bulldog faith is determined. It is an unwavering resolve to stand firm. Unwavering resolve. An inner decision. I'm not moving. I am determined. I'm determined to get this. I'm determined to receive it. So say, bulldog faith,
bulldog faith
is determined.
Is determined.
I am determined.
I am determined.
All right, turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Today we're going to talk a little bit about bulldog faith is focused. Focused. Bulldog faith is focused. When you talk about the word focus, and I could talk a lot about this because there is power. There is power in someone who is focused on something. You take someone who practices and practices and practices, whatever, whether it's a musical instrument or in cooking, in mathematics, whatever it is, they focus in on that line of study and they work on it and work on it and work on it. Concert pianists, they practice for hours a day. What do? They're focused. They're focused on it. So that when they get that out there and they begin to perform, they know exactly and precisely what they're doing. They've worked it and worked it and worked it and worked it. They focus on it. And the word focus itself means to concentrate on. Concentrate on. To give total and undivided attention. That's important. Total and undivided attention. And I'll give you an example of this. A few years ago, I was watching the Olympics, and I was watching the skaters, and it's just amazing to me. When you watch the Olympics, you are watching people who are really focused in. They are really honed in, whether it's in skiing or whatever they do. Whatever they do in the Olympics, these people didn't just arrive there. They practiced and practiced and practiced. They focused and focused and focused, hours and hours and hours and hours a day. And I was watching the Olympic skaters. And what you watch with the Olympic skaters is a performance. And hopefully for them, they don't mess up, they don't trip, they don't slip. And you see hours and hours and days and weeks and months and months of just practice, 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 focusing on what they're doing. And I watched this particular individual skating, doing their performance, and then it was over, the people were cheering, the people were clapping. He stood there, the camera was on him, and it was showing his score. People were just really enjoying that. And then the announcer was saying, now we'll be right back with so-and-so. He's going to be in his competition. And it cut to back behind the stage area, the skating area, the rink, and it showed him. And I thought this was fascinating to me. He was stretching. And had his foot up against something, and he was stretching, but he had these huge headsets on. And I thought, look at that. He was not listening to what was going on out there. Whatever he was listening to was getting him focused in on what he was supposed to do next. And I looked at that and I thought, that person is just, he's focusing in on what the job that he has to do. He's giving his entire concentration and his entire effort to that. For whatever reason, he wasn't standing out there watching that guy. He was back behind there and he was focusing himself. And with that, I don't know what those were. I don't know what he might be listening to. And maybe they were just noise cancellation. Noise cancellation. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Noise cancellation. We need to focus in on the word. And we need to literally put on the noise cancellation headsets on and get ready for what we have to do. So to focus is just simply to concentrate on. And the scripture that I want to use here is James 1. Look at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith puts patience to work. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now listen, if any of you lack wisdom, and you could really say there, if you lack wisdom about the trials or the temptations, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. If you've not underlined nothing wavering in your Bible, you need to do that. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So how does this apply to focus? We're talking about focusing. Well, first of all, it says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. The word to waver means to question yourself, to wonder, or you could say to wander. That's what wavering is. The Amplified Bible says, only it must be in faith that he asked was no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, the one who hesitates, the one who doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. The New Living Translation of that. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty. Divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. So when you are wavering, you are blown around. You are pushed around. The devil drives. The Holy Spirit guides. The devil tries to drive you into places, confuse you, bring confusion into your life. And what he's saying here is that in verses 7 and 8, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Not focused. He's not focused. He's looking in this direction. He's looking in that direction instead of looking in this direction here. He's not focused. So you could really turn that scripture around and say a single-minded man is stable in all of his ways. I want to be single-minded. I want to be single-minded and focused on the Word of God. My eyes of faith only see what He wants me to see. The desired result and not the dreaded outcome. That I see, and I practice this. I practice this. Brother Copeland is believing for a million partners. So I see a million partners with the eye of faith. I see it. I'm not wavering from that. I see it. I believe it. I believe we have it. I believe we're walking in it. And there are other things in the ministry that I am honing in, focusing in on the Word, razor sharp point on the Word of God that tells me what I have. Instead of listening to any voices out here that are trying to say, you're not going to make it, it's not going to happen, you're not going to get the money, and so on and so on and so on. There's a lot of noise going on out there. You need to put the noise cancellation on your ears and get the Word going in there. And get it going and get it going and get it going until it flushes out all of the doubt and the unbelief and the hesitation that tries to come on you. So a single-minded man is stable in all of his ways. Single-minded, focused, giving attention, undivided attention. How far do you want to go with God? How far do you want to walk with Him? How far do you want to see results in your life? It's up to us. It's up to us to make the decisions, the quality decisions. I'm going to do this and I'm not going to do that. I'll turn the TV off. I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to listen to the Word. I'm going to get that Word down on the inside of me. I'm going to be razor sharp focused on the living, breathing Word of God. Let me give you this phrase. Bulldog faith is laser beam focused on the desired result instead of the dreaded outcome. Bulldog faith is laser beamed focused, stubborn as you can be on the desired result instead of the dreaded outcome. The power of focus. The power of focus. How many of you remember General Tommy Franks? General Tommy Franks. He was the man that led the invasion into Baghdad. Were you there at that time? No. Was anybody there? Anybody? Shout at me. Were you there? Somebody was there. You were there. Do you remember General Tommy Franks? Somebody tell me what she said. I can't hear her. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Quest, could you hear her? He couldn't hear her. You are from where? Praise God. Glory to God. Supported U.S. forces there. Well, General Tommy Franks, go ahead and put the picture up there. There's a bulldog right there. Both of us. Leave it up there as I read this. General Tommy Franks was interviewed several days before the invasion of Baghdad in 2003. He was responsible for shutting down Saddam Hussein's reign of terror. A reporter referenced the magnitude of the task ahead and asked if the general was afraid. General Franks quickly replied, Focus has a way of overcoming anxiety. Write that one down. I feel like Jesse right now. Write that down. Write that. Focus has a way of overcoming anxiety. It does. It does. Now, bulldog faith stays focused on the word. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Bulldog faith, it stays focused on the word of God. And in Proverbs 4, starting in verse 20, my son, attend to, focus on, give all of your attention and concentration to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. It goes on to say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Now look at verse 25. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. What is that? That's focus. That's focus. It says in the Amplified Translation, let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose. Fixed purpose. And let your gaze be straight before you. Now stop here for a moment and just talk to you for a moment about what's going on in your life. What's happening with you? What are you standing for? What are you believing for? Is it something in your body? Is it financial? Is it your children? Whatever it is. Whatever it is, get focused on the word that gives you the answer, and do not take your eyes off of that. Even when it looks bad, even when it seems bad, even when it looks impossible, you let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose and let your gaze be straight before you into the word of God. The New Living Translation says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. The Message translation, keep your eyes straight ahead and ignore all sideshow distractions. Sideshow distractions. Do you know what it means when somebody goes squirrel? You get used to the, and you have to make a decision. I refuse to hear doubt and unbelief. And you can train yourself to such a point that you hear it right away when it's around you, and you just shut it down and you shut it out. You keep your gaze on this. You keep your heart in the Word of God, and let that word work on the inside. If it's something physical, you find that word, the word that God speaks to you, and you just begin to declare that over yourself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. All that is within me is blessed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals, the Amplified Bible says, every one of all of my diseases. That belongs to you. That's yours. That is yours. He redeems your life from destruction. He surrounds you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He fills your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I believe that Joyce's youth is being renewed like the eagles. I saw it right in front of my eyes. I saw an acceleration take place on the inside of her. And that's why I pointed you out the first time on Saturday, because it so shocked me. Look at her. Look at her. And that's what the Lord wants for every one of us. Our youth is to be renewed like the eagles. The older you get, the younger you look. The older you get, the better you look. The older you get, the more healed you are. The older you get, the faster you can run. I'm telling you, God is looking for some supermen and wonder women. He is looking. He's looking. Anybody take that? 120 good, strong, powerful years. Praise God. Did you see Brother Copeland do his push-ups? Awesome. Awesome. Inspiring to us. So we have to do that. We have to ignore all sideshow distractions. Verse 26, it says, ponder the path of your feet and let all of your ways be established. It says in the Amplified, consider well the path of your feet and let all your ways be established and ordered aright. Finally, verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. And it says in the New Living, don't get sidetracked. NIV, don't swerve. Don't swerve. But stay what? Focused. Stay focused. We have to be telling each other that. Husbands, wives, you're going back to the homes together and you're going back and you're going to, you may have a temptation there to get worried, concerned over something, and you look at each other and say, stay focused. On what? The Word. Stay focused on the Word. All right, run over to Mark chapter 5. I'm almost there. Mark chapter 5. Are you with me? Okay. Mark chapter 5. Bulldog faith eliminates all distractions. I give you that challenge. I give you that challenge today to do everything that you know to do to get rid of every distraction that would try to steal from you, to steal the vision that God has given to you. Some of you, maybe the devil's already stolen that vision. It's time to get it back. It's time to get it back and get focused on it. And don't quit. Don't give up. I look back on experiences that I've had here at the ministry before, and I remember the pressure that I got under when we were $6 million behind. And I look back on that now, and I'm like, Lord, why did I get under pressure? Why was that such a pressure to me? Well, I needed to be built up further in His Word to learn some things about it and to disregard negative voices that might have been around me. And you know what? The Lord was faithful. He was faithful, and we did. We got back up on our faith. We believed God. Kenneth and Gloria believed God. And it was supposed to take 18 months to 2 years to recover, they said, if we recovered from that. But we recovered within about a 6-month period. In May of that year, all of the accounts payables were paid up. And that TV bill that was behind it was paid. It was paid July the 10th of 1990 at 9 o'clock in the morning. I remember it well. It was sunny outside when they brought me the check. And I remember that. I remember that. That's a marker in my life for the faithfulness of God. So you've got to get your mind fixed on the fact He's faithful. He is faithful. And any kind of distractions, any kind of things that are trying to go on around here, you get rid of them. I'll give you this statement. Distraction is an enemy of faith. It's an enemy to faith. Let's look at this scripture in Mark 5:22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed. And she shall live. This man is walking in faith. He's believing God. And he's looking. He's getting focused. He was back there at the house. And they're telling him his daughter's going to die. And that ruler, synagogue ruler, at the house, all those people there, he said, I need to get out of here. I need to find the Word. I need to get the Word for this. And he found Jesus. He walked up to Jesus. You see what he did? He had to get away from the distractions. He had to eliminate the distractions, even if it was him walking away from that crowd. Oh, she's about to die. Oh, she's about to die. And they're crying and they're wailing. And he's like, I need to get out of here right now. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there where you just had to walk away from that and hear from the Lord, get down on the inside and hear from Him? And that's exactly what Jairus did. And it says in verse 24, Jesus went with him. And it says, much people followed him and they thronged him. Now, jump to verse 35. Let's get back. We went through with the woman with the issue of blood. She got healed. And Jairus is standing there. He's standing there and he's watching all of this in front of him. They said his daughter is at the point of death. But Jairus, I mean, this is in Capernaum, or Capernaum, as I learned how to say it in Israel. He was there with him, standing there, and he could have thrown a fit. Jesus, you need to get to the house right now. He didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. He had too much respect for Jesus, too much respect for the Word to do that. He stood there and he watched this, and he watched Jesus under that anointing minister, or as that woman came to him and grabbed on to the hem of his garment, and that virtue and power and dynamic power came out of him, and she was delivered. And Jairus is still standing there. He's just standing there. He's waiting his turn. Not upset. Not getting mad. But what is he? He's focused. He's focused on Jesus. And it says, while he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the master any further? All right, there's the word. There's that word that came to him. And you could tell that Jairus at that point began to falter. He began to back up. But Jesus did, and this is what you and I need to be doing. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he got real focused. Real focused. And he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. What was he doing? Jairus, stay focused. Look at me. Look at me. Don't listen to them. Don't get sidetracked on this. Listen to me. Stay with me. Stay with me. And the Amplified Bible says, while he was still speaking, there came some from the ruler's house who said to Jairus, your daughter has died. Why bother and distress the teacher any further? Overhearing, but ignoring what they said. Now let that one sink in for a moment. Jesus heard it. He heard it. And he didn't stop and say, well, I guess we don't need to go. Jairus, have you got the funeral service? Do you want to plan when we speak at the funeral service for you? We'll take care of that. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. No. He said, it says, ignoring, overhearing, but ignoring what they said. Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing. This is powerful. This is focus. This is bulldog faith focus. Don't be seized with alarm and struck with fear. He was seized with alarm. Your daughter is dead. He is seized with this alarm. He was struck with fear. Jesus knew exactly what to say. Jesus knew exactly what to do to keep that man focused on the assignment that he had before him. Don't be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Keep on believing. Stay focused on me. And so Jairus did that. He did it. And it says, and he suffered no man to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. Them that wept and wailed greatly. Them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said to them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but she sleeps. What did he walk into? He walked into this family situation. They're all gathered there. They are weeping. They are crying. They are screaming. They are not in faith. They are not in faith. And Jesus steps into the middle of it, and he was not intimidated either. He was not intimidated by this crowd. He didn't tiptoe in there. He marched in there, into the middle of it. And he said to them, well, why make this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but she's sleeping. And look at verse 40. They laughed him to scorn. You're crazy. You're crazy. This man is crazy. The Amplified Bible said they laughed and jeered at him. So what did he do? He put him out. Wow. Have you ever stopped and meditated on what that must have looked like? I was thinking about that yesterday. He cleared the house. That authority, the authority of him, on him, he was clearing that house. He had to get rid of the distraction. He had to be so focused on this situation that he only took several of his disciples with him on this. And back in the book of Acts, you'll see that Peter did the same thing. He cleared the house. He got rid of all the distractions. And it said, when they laughed him to scorn, and when he had put them out, when they put them all out, amplified, they laughed and jeered at him, and he put them all out, and taking the child's father and the mother and those who were with him, he went in where the little girl was lying. He only took faith with him. Who are the faith people in the room? Mother, father, and the two disciples. The rest of them were out of faith, and the rest of them were not handling the situation at all. They were not focused in on the Word of God. And Jesus put them out. I mean, you can just imagine. I hadn't fully kind of thought this through, how he did that. But he it's like cleansing the temple, I guess. I don't know if he overturned the kitchen table, but he got their attention. He got their attention. But I'm telling you, folks, that's the kind of bulldog tenacity that you have to have. Because there are a lot of things, a lot of negative things out there, a lot of doubt, a lot of unbelief that's flying around out there. And you have to get so focused in, whatever it is, on your healing, on your deliverance, on your finances, on your family, you get so focused in to the Word of God that whatever words try to rise up, whatever the devil tries to tell you, you say, shut up now in Jesus' name. You may have to say that out loud. Well, you're going to lose this court case. They're going to haul you off and take you to prison. You're going to lose all your money. Shut up, devil. He takes care of his own. He takes care of his own. So you have to put them out in the same way that he put them out. And so it goes on to say here, he took the damsel by the hand, said to her, Talitha kumai, damsel, I say to you, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. She was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. What did he do? He got rid of the distractions. He removed the doubt and unbelief that hindered. And we have to do the same thing. Say focus. 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 Focused faith result was victory over death. I said focused faith result was victory over death. I want musicians to come up here right now. Come on up here right now. This focus, focusing on the Word of God, focusing not on the things that are around you, the things that are being said around you. The eye of faith is always looking at the victory. That's the scripture that we started with. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And our eyes need to be looking at the victory. We need to be looking at the victory. The victory in your body, the victory in your finances, the victory. You need to be on the victory side where all of that is concerned. We have to refuse to accept anything less than total victory. General Tommy Franks refused to accept anything less than total victory. And that's what he got. That's what he got. And you get focused. You get focused on the victory. You get focused on the victory in your body. You get focused on the victory in your family. You get focused on the victory in your finances. Guys, come on here quickly. Come out. And so, bulldog faith says, all I see is victory. All I see is victory. Pastor, what about all I see is victory? All I see is victory. And as I was preparing this message, I knew that Candy was with us last week. And I heard from the Lord that we needed to sing this song. And you need to get that phrase down on the inside. All I see is victory. All I see is victory. Well, what about this? All I see is victory. Well, what about that? All I see is victory. All I see is victory. I got the noise cancellation here. All I hear is victory. All I hear is victory. All I see is victory. All I see is victory. And so the Lord spoke to me about having Candy come and do this song. And so she was supposed to go back home. And praise God, thank you, Candy. You changed your whole schedule just for us to be here today. And that word, come here. Come on, guys. Come on, come on. And that word you're about to sing, that is a prophetic word for us all. God is victory. And that victory is on the inside of us. And all I see, it hit me when you sang it the first time. You did it here. That's the first time I heard it. And it just lit a fire on the inside of me. And now it's going to lit a fire on all of us here and those watching. All I can see, I'm focused on victory. Everybody, stand up. Stand up. Stand up.